Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, check out VeritasMedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing good.
Good to see you back in the studio. Of course, we missed you last week, but a good show nevertheless. And so we have a special guest with us today on the program. And you can introduce the guests now, if you would.
You bet. Before we bring in our special guest, it's going to be awesome show today. Quick announcement, Thursday the 24th, I'll be speaking in Amarillo at his church at 6:30. And then on the 26th, Saturday, there's an all-day event down in Midland. Seth Ketchell and Louis Gohmert and I think Laura Logan's going to be there. Lots of folks, whole day's worth of speaking down there in Midland. So encourage y'all to check out those events.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to get a testimony today, a personal testimony from a patient who happens to be a medical professional too. And really want to try to focus more and more this year on these testimonies for a lot of different reasons. One reason, though, is to encourage people that the truth is the body can fix itself if it's stewarded the right way. Now, that there's a lot to that stewardship. It's more than just trying to eat clean and supplement where you're deficient in exercise and, you know, these basic lifestyle things, but it also includes your thinking. Your thoughts are powerful. So there's a lot there. But it's something I encourage people to consider and to look into, quote-unquote, alternative approaches to taking care of your health. There's this thing in the medical world we call standard of care, and the medical boards who give the authority to doctors, who license and give authority to doctors and PAs to practice, they have rules in place that you follow the standard of care. And that's basically, hey, here's what the published literature shows is the best way to treat a patient with X, Y, and Z symptom or disease, hypertension, diabetes, cancer, whatever. And so there's that standard of care. But what's become evident in the literature and in my experience and the experience of many, many colleagues of mine is there's been a pendulum swing in the standard of care. We've been pushed far, far over into the pharmaceutical-only approach, and we've forgotten that pharmaceuticals only treat the symptom of disorder at the cellular level. When there's disorder in your cells, specifically with the mitochondria not making energy and not clearing exhaust properly, like we talk about all the time with Morley, then you get inflammation. Inflammation of the brain can manifest as Alzheimer's, depression, autism, ADD. You can get inflammation of your coronary arteries, and it manifests as a heart attack. You can get inflammation in your joints, and that manifests as rheumatoid arthritis. Inflammation in your colon, and that's ulcerative colitis, and all these different inflammatory processes. But inflammation almost always is rooted in improper stewardship through diet and lifestyle choices. So if the root cause is related to diet and lifestyle, then obviously a pharmaceutical approach isn't going to get to that root cause, because it's not a lack of a pharmaceutical agent that leads to hypertension or cancer or anything else. We don't have a Nexium deficiency that gives us reflux. Doctors are not trained in root cause resolution. We're trained in symptom management. We manage diabetes. We manage high blood sugar. We manage high blood pressure. We manage your migraine. We manage your excessive uterine bleeding. We manage your joint pain. We manage everything. And mostly it's pharmaceutical management, occasionally surgical management. So, unfortunately, the outcomes aren't great. So, for cancer in particular, which we're going to talk about today in this testimony, for the most part, generally speaking, we haven't budged on our ability to really improve on our cancer rates, survivorship rate, especially if you're past stage one. Stage one means it's contained. You found it early. It's contained in one certain spot. You just go in there surgically, cut it out, and throw it in the trash can, and you're done. That's pretty easy and simple. But once it's beyond stage one, means it's spread somewhere. So once it has spread, then that's where chemo comes in and radiation comes in. And if you rely solely on that, what the studies show us is, and this was a study a few years ago out of Australia, they showed that chemo's contribution to five-year survival is about 1.8% to 2.3%, whether you're looking at Australians or Americans. So very, very minimal. Basically, chemo just doesn't do a whole lot for long-term survivorship. And it's not just cancer, it's across the board. Whether you're using pills to lower your blood sugar or stents to open up your coronary artery, what are the long-term morbidity and mortality stats? And overall, we've just gotten sicker and sicker, and we die younger and younger because we're not dealing with root causes. So we need an alternative to that. An alternative is try to figure out what drove that inflammation and can we reverse that root cause. So Alyssa Perez has been a patient at Veritas and a patient of Worldview Wellness, which we'll talk about here in a minute, who follows Dr. Nasha Winter's protocol. We've had Dr. Nasha on our show a few years ago. I encourage you all to go back on the archive page on our website, veritasmedical.com, look that up, listen to that, consider getting her book. We've had other practitioners on who've discussed these alternative cancer treatments. So there's a rule in the Texas Medical Code that we can do non-standard of care. It's called complementary and alternative medicine, Rule 200. And if someone chooses to do that and they're fully informed, they have the right to do that, and the doctor has the right to talk about it in the right context, with the right informed consent, in the right way, understanding that standard of care has either been tried and failed or refused or whatever reason. You present the standard of care, and then the patient decides to do something in addition to that or in substitution of that. So Alyssa Perez was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and decided to add some complementary and alternative medicine techniques to her regimen, and we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about a lot more than that too, because Alyssa has a lot to share. She has a testimony, and the testimony, looking at scripture, I think it's in Revelations, yeah, here it is, 12:11. They overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. It's the testimony of the saints that builds the kingdom of God. And modern medicine says don't listen to anecdotal reports. And that's what a conventionally trained doctor who only believes in science and evolutionary theory would say. Oh, this is just a random, you know, one anecdotal report. Don't listen to her. So use your own discernment, your own wisdom, and we're going to listen to a testimony today from Alyssa Perez, who I think I mentioned is also a physician assistant up in Wichita Falls. Alyssa, welcome to the show today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us today. I know it can be a little nerve-wracking getting on the air, but we're just going to have a conversation. And the reason I wanted you to come on is to, like I said at the top of the show, to encourage people. The body can fix itself. We don't do testimonials. We have testimonials on our website, and we're going to do more testimonials on the show. This is not to put any doctor on a pedestal or any medical person, Dr. Winters or anyone else. No one belongs on a pedestal but God. And all glory goes to God. He designed the body to fix itself if you steward it, if you give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. So this isn't to pump us up as Veritas or me or Micah or Nasha or anybody else. And Alyssa will, I'm quite certain, make that clear. This is to encourage people that there's hope and your body's amazingly designed. So Alyssa, with that, I kind of just want you to share from your heart, maybe a little bit of your background first, like who you are. I mentioned you're a PA, Wichita Falls, but a little bit of just your life leading up to your diagnosis, and then kind of walk us through that diagnosis and then your thought process, your treatments. You did a lot of different treatments, including conventional. But just kind of start back with really what your life was like before you learned about a quote-unquote alternative approach to healthcare.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you for having me here today. I'd love to, looking forward to encouraging people. But it starts off with, I'm a physician assistant. I've been a PA for 20 years. I've done family practice and emergency medicine, and haven't been working for the last few years. I am a wife and homeschool mom of three. My children are 9, 10, and 11. and have been doing that since they were little. So I've mainly been at home and just enjoying my life here in Texas. I'm originally from Iowa. I was brought down here 14 years ago and when we got married, and I'm just enjoying Texas. So before I was diagnosed, I was a busy homeschool mom. Just as many moms can identify, just running around here and there and looking forward to raising my family and living my best life. And it was in the fall of 2020. I've been a believer since 2002, have a strong faith. But the Lord, ironically, was leading me at that point to increase my faith. And that was my prayer at that time, was just really strengthen my faith and strengthen my my belief in the Lord. And it was on November 28th of 2020. It was a Saturday night. And I went to get in the shower and noticed that the left side of my pelvic area was a little bit swollen. And in having a, you know, medical mind, I was like, all right, something's not right here. So started going through my differential diagnosis in my mind and realized we had just gotten cats and they had fleas. And I know you can get cat scratch disease. So I thought, okay, this is, you know, cat scratch, and had a friend of mine call me in some antibiotics and it didn't get better. And so a week, 10 days went by and started having a little bit of discomfort in the left side of my pelvis and went to my gynecologist and she ordered a pelvic ultrasound. They told me I had an ovarian cyst. It was nothing, but kind of blew it off. And then when it wasn't getting better in the middle of December, I decided to go into my family practitioner and had him order some blood work and chest x-ray. And I was starting to get a little worried at that point because the swelling wasn't going away. And so he came back and said, everything looks good. Well, in my heart, you know, I just knew something wasn't right. And I started checking all my lymph nodes everywhere. And 2 days before Christmas, I found a tiny little lymph node in my left supraclavicular area. And, you know, from my medical background, knowing that a left supraclavicular lymph node isn't good. I got into a surgeon the next day, and she said, well, it's Christmas. Let's just wait and see what happens over the next few weeks. I went to Iowa to visit family for a week, and by the time I got home, my pelvis had continued to swell. Within that 10 days, I couldn't lay flat at night. I was short of breath, couldn't lay on my right side, having increased pelvic pain. And by the time I got back, she had agreed to do a biopsy, lymph node biopsy. And on January 11th, I had my biopsy. And on January 13th, 2 days later, my surgeon called me and said, Alyssa, you have metastatic high-grade serous adenocarcinoma, and we don't know where it's coming from. She had appointments for me immediately with an oncologist and colonoscopy and a PET scan, which they discovered that the cancer was all the way through my lymph nodes from top to bottom. It had not entered any of my organs yet or my bones, but it was in all of my lymph nodes. And it was, needless to say, surreal and terrifying and devastating all at once. I proceeded to then, the next week, have a port placement to start chemo right away. I was overwhelmed, did not know, you know, what direction to even go, but they told me that I needed to start chemo immediately, and I did. So they went in for a port placement. Unfortunately, they accidentally gave me a pneumothorax, which ended me in the hospital for 5 days in excruciating pain. But it was at that time, during that time, that the community around me stepped up, and I have some amazing friends, a great friend who was a patient of Dr. Ben's for years, and she contacted Dr. Ben, and Dr. Ben reached out to me and to give me some wisdom to where to start. Because it was at this point, even at the very beginning, as terrified as I was ready and willing to do whatever it took to fight this and to succeed in this battle of cancer. And at that point, we started chemo within the next few weeks. However, at the same time, I also started really pursuing this integrative approach. And I did order the book, Metabolic Approach to Cancer by Nasha Winters. But at the beginning, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea where to even begin, other than I knew I needed to start eating even better than I already was. During that time, they discovered that it was ovarian cancer. That was the source of it. And they got me on that regimen for chemo and whatnot. So I started that January 29th of 2021. That was the beginning of this amazing journey that the Lord had me on.
Why, Alyssa, did you decide to pursue integrative? So many people just stick straight conventional. What was it, looking back? Is it just something God put in you, or what? Why did you decide to do that? Not just stick with a standard answer.
Well, I think it was really ultimately several reasons. First, I think the Lord laid that on my heart. Secondly, I have my good friend Tara has done integrative care for years, and she was that person beside me that said, you know, you're going to do this. And immediately we stopped eating any sugar, carbs, anything like that, and just started diving into that research of figuring out what I needed to do. And when I opened up that book from Nasha Winters, it was like a light bulb came on and said, this makes sense to me. And I surrendered my life at that point and said, all right, Lord, I can't control this. This is not in my control of getting cancer, but I certainly am going to do everything possible to win at this and to do what I need to do and to bring glory to you through it. So.
Amen. And what did the conventional oncologist advise as far as obviously do the chemo, but what were the odds? Were they giving you any kind of hopes for the future?
You know, originally they didn't know what kind of cancer it was, so that really gave them kind of not this. They weren't able to give me a whole lot of hope at that point. They did then determine it was ovarian cancer and said that I would have years in front of me, but really couldn't give me a specific time. They did say, you know, we can do chemotherapy and then we can continue with immunotherapy after that, pending certain tests being positive or negative. But they basically started the chemo right away and said we would just take it one step at a time and determine what we need to do from there.
Okay. And then, so explain a little bit about that integrative approach. Obviously, there's a big diet change. But and you don't have to go into great detail if you don't want, but just to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of how you proceeded and how you did through your chemo. Did that help you through chemo? What were the side effects of that? Did the oncologist make any comments about how you were handling things compared to someone similar case?
Absolutely. So with my diet, immediately I cut out all carbs, all sugars, and followed a very strict keto diet, also really targeting specific vegetables. If you read that book, she lays out a lot of the diet protocol within that of how to get your fats up, healthy fats. I basically did meat, veggies, eggs, and high fat immediately because sugar feeds cancer. And I know that the conventional oncologist told me that doesn't make sense and that wasn't true, but the more books I read, obviously that read multiple books over the course of the last year, but every book I have read just made sense to me that sugar would feed cancer. And I started really realizing that this integrative approach sounds true. And of course, over the last year, I've realized that it is true. But so as I started doing this, I started a lot of different things, not only feeding what my body needs to be healthy, but also detoxing what my body doesn't need and the things that are affecting it. So when I started chemo on January 29th, my Ca-125 level, which is the cancer level for ovarian cancer, normal is, you know, less than 27, less than 30. Mine was 2,700 on the first day they did my chemo. And at that point, I also started detoxing from chemo. I bought a sauna, started doing a sauna treatment. I started doing coffee enemas, wheatgrass shots, a slew of supplements, changing my diet, exercise, as much as I could do. And then I came back 3 weeks later after my first chemo. And I remember that first chemo, my sister was here, and they told me that I would be sick and that I would be tired. And that, you know, and so I had the chemo on a Friday, and I woke up Saturday morning and hesitantly kind of scared, waiting for the nausea to kick in, and I was okay. And then the next day, I was waiting. I was a little fatigued, but over the course of the next days, I realized, hey, I don't feel bad. And the beauty of that, I believe, was the Lord, certainly, that all the integrative treatment and detox that I did, I was able to continue homeschooling the entire 7 months that I did chemo. I was able to continue to exercise and engage in life and be me. I only had maybe a few episodes of nausea, no throwing up. I was maybe a little fatigued the day after chemo, but other than that, I really did well with chemo, doing the integrative approach.
Yeah. I just want to interject here real quick. Detoxification, that's not something that I learned about in medical school. You probably didn't either. I don't think any oncologists even talk about it. Why don't they talk about it? Because they weren't taught it either. And so we've got to understand as a society that doctors can only give you from what they've been given. So what they were given in medical school and residency training, what they get at continuing education conferences, that's what they give you. And so who's educating them? Where does that curriculum come from? How broad is it? How integrative is it? How much does it pull from the thousands of years of healing arts versus just the last 100 years of pharmaceutical-based approaches to medicine? So just in this narrow subject of detoxification, if you think about it for a minute, obviously chemotherapy is toxic. Everyone can agree on that. It's designed to be toxic. We're just hoping it kills enough of the cancer cells before it kills enough of your healthy cells and that you can survive it. So just the chemical itself is toxic, but then there's this concept of when you kill tumor cells, cancer cells, there's toxicity in those dying cells. And there's a burden, a full body burden of toxicity. So if you can help pull that or neutralize the toxins, pull them out, flush them out, assist the body in its flushing of those toxins, that just makes sense. Used to in the Merck manual years and years and years ago, coffee enemas were in the Merck manual. And Dr. Vickers was on our show a while back talking about the Gerson therapy, and coffee enemas are a big part of that protocol. Because the coffee, as Dr. Vickers explained, has a chemical in it that interacts with the liver. And anything, taken rectally goes straight to the liver through the blood supply. And it triggers the liver to move that bile into your bowel and get rid of it sooner and quicker and faster. Anyway, so we're not going to go off on that topic. I'm just trying to point out this simple thing of helping the body deal with toxicity can be very, very beneficial. That's an example of integrating these other modalities that other health practitioners in the natural world understand very well. And let chemo do its thing, and let's assist the body both nutritionally, as Alyssa's talked about, the wheat grass shots and the diet changes, flooding the body with nutrients to help combat the toxicity, and then assisting in the detoxification. And that right there, we don't need to even argue and debate, did chemo make the cancer go away, or was it our own immune system doing it? Of course, combination of both. I think Alyssa would admit to that. But just the point of, let's integrate these things for the benefit of the patient. So at the minimum, they feel better. As she just said, she's waiting for the horrible nausea to kick in, and it didn't. So sorry, just had to throw that in, Alyssa. So let's proceed. So you're feeling pretty decent. You're doing your chemo. You've made some very aggressive changes. You're doing some detoxification. Kind of walk us from there. How did things go?
Yeah. So my chemo, or at my first chemo, my CA125 was 2,700. And then I also, at that time, they referred me to speak to an MD Anderson doctor as well, who agreed with the plan that my local oncologist gave, and so he was kind of along for the ride as well. 3 weeks later, I went in for my second chemo, and they redrew my CA-125, and the nurse came over and said to me, showed me the results, and it had dropped from 2,700 to 144. And she said, Alyssa, in 20 years, we've never seen a drop like that. And it continued to do that. By the next time, the third chemo, when I was gone in, I continued to feel good, but my levels had dropped below normal at 27. They continued to drop all the way down to 3, which they have continued to remain at between 2 and 3 since that time. And I went through 8 rounds of chemo, and at the end, midway, they did a CT scan, and it showed all of my, almost all of my lymph nodes were clear of cancer, except like 5 or 6. And in June 2021, last year, on a Wednesday, I had my PET scan, and the next morning, my MD Anderson doctor called me for a follow-up. And just to speak to you, you commented, you know, was it the chemo, was it the integrative care, was it the Lord? And I do agree, it was all three. But primarily, it was the Lord and the integrative care, because my oncologist called me the day after my PET scan, and he said, congratulations on a clear scan. I said, well, thank you. And he said, Alyssa, he said, when I saw your scan, he said, you're a unique case. He said, because when I saw your scan in January and looked at your numbers, I had no expectation of you getting better. And I said, well, I said, that is the power of the Lord and the integrative medicine that I'm doing. And he said, I don't know about either one of those, but whatever you're doing, keep up with it because it's working. Wow. And that is the money that I have for my faith, as well as integrative care. And at the beginning of this journey, the night before my biopsy, the Lord gave me this verse in Matthew 9:22, and it was, I was on my knees in our church at a prayer service, beseeching the Lord. I knew something was wrong. My husband and I were on our knees begging the Lord, and he gave me this verse about the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and when she just reached out and touched his cloak, she was healed. And 3 people came to me that week before I found out I had cancer and said, this is the verse that the Lord gave me for you. And that morning, that right before my oncologist called me, I was praying and just spending my time with the Lord. And I had my Bible in front of me. And as I opened, I was praying and I just asked the Lord, you know, what is it that you want me to hear today? And if I could just share that through all of this, the biggest lesson that I have learned is just surrender. I had my life planned. I had my life figured out, even as a believer. And it's nothing like a little bout with your own potential death to make you realize that you're not in control, and that the biggest thing that we can do for our lives is to surrender to His control and the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that morning, as I just continued to surrender to Him and thank Him for the clear scan that He had given me, I opened up my Bible, and it flipped open to Matthew 9:22, and the next words that I read was, it says, Jesus turned and saw her in Matthew 9:22. It says, take heart, daughter, He said, your faith has healed you. And I burst into tears, and I realized that this is a journey that the Lord has me on. And I promised Him in Psalm 30 at the very beginning of this journey that I would share it with anyone. I would help anyone and share this journey with anyone who needed to hear it. So.
Wow, that is powerful. It's awesome. We are up against a break, Alyssa, but I want to say that I'm in 100% agreement with you. I mean, it's so cool that MD Anderson oncologist, obviously he's at MD Anderson, pretty top-notch place. I don't know how long he's been there, but I imagine he sees a whole lot of ovarian cancer and a lot of metastatic ovarian cancer with really high levels on their blood work like you had. And just from that worldly perspective of, and him admitting that your outcome is, he didn't expect you to get well. And then to not only get well, but get well that quickly and do it so beautifully and without the side effects. And, you know, just the way you've integrated not only nutrition, it's so easy to get focused on the physical nutrition, detoxification. And let the experts deal with it. Just, you know, these expert doctors, let's not take any personal responsibility. And the way you just dove in and committed wholeheartedly, but surrendering and letting the Lord lead you through it all and trusting. And we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Being able to lay it down, especially in the face of death, and just really be able to walk in peace. I mean, that's the ultimate surrender. So we'll talk more about that when we get back from the break. We're talking with Alyssa Perez, PA from Wichita Falls, and a follower of the way of Jesus. So y'all stick with us. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure, right here with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. You can find it all right there at VeritasMedical.com. www.AM580.com.
All right, Wade, thank you. We're right back at it with Alyssa Perez, PA from Wichita Falls, and a believer in Jesus Christ, more importantly. We were talking about integrative cancer therapies, and specifically Alyssa's battle with metastatic ovarian cancer. And for those that don't know, that's a really poor prognosis. That's one of the worst cancers you can get, as well as pancreatic cancer, glioblastoma. There's this group of cancers that are less amenable to treatment. We have a very poor track record with surviving those. I've been reading a book by Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. The name of the book is The Maverick MD. Dr. Gonzalez is no longer with us. A very untimely and unexplained death. It's been more than a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. But I was reading last night in 1997 a pilot study he did with inoperable end-stage, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Usually we're talking just months to survive that. Definitely not more than a year. No more than 10% of conventionally treated pancreatic cancer patients will survive 2 years. This pilot study, 9 of the 11 patients in the study were alive after 1 year, 5 patients had lived longer than 2 years, and 4 had surpassed the 3-year mark, which compared to conventional is pretty dadgum amazing. And we could go on and on and on about all the different integrative clinics and hospitals out there that are mostly outside the United States, because there's more availability and acceptance of these integrative techniques. So I encourage people to do their due diligence, do your research, look at that, and be careful of just listening to one expert. And I'm not knocking the oncologist. Like I said at the top of the show, they can only give you what they've been given, so the way they've been trained is what you'll get. I'm encouraging you to look at the results. Look at the improvement we've had over the last 30, 40 years, or lack thereof, by integrating only pharmaceutical surgery and radiation. Chemo and radiation surgery are the 3 modalities to treat cancer in the United States that are officially approved. If we could integrate some other things, we'd probably get better outcomes. All right, Alyssa, I don't want to get on my soapbox. This is your, you can get on your soapbox. But you were saying before the break about surrendering, and I think that's so important. And when I talk to patients with really any disease, but especially in those that have been given a death sentence or a terminal diagnosis, incurable, inoperable, whatever, if they're believers, for sure, I try to talk to them about the sovereignty of God. And that God's in charge, not me, not some other doctor, not any human, not you, the patient, obviously. I mean, to be able to get to that place of trusting in the one who created you, that he loves you, these circumstances you're in are actually for your benefit somehow, and to be able to take captive your thoughts and to surrender to him and trust him, whatever the outcome may be. And that ultimately it's for his glory, and that you as his child representing him here on the earth while we're here on the earth, and all of our days are numbered, and that number I think is set. And so if we can kind of just get unhandcuffed from that spirit of death and spirit of fear of dying, then we can more accurately represent him and walk in peace and love and be who we're supposed to be despite our circumstances. So I was going to give you an opportunity to talk more about that. How did you, I know it's a personal thing and there's lots of wrestling and it's probably an ongoing thing, but could you share more about that surrender and how did you do that?
Absolutely. As you say, that it's that faith over fear, and it's a tightrope because it does go back and forth. It's not something that I want people to hear, that I didn't get diagnosed, decided to do integrative care, trust the Lord, and have never had any problems since then. It has been a wrestling, and that's kind of how I described it to people at the very beginning. I would be okay one day, and then I'd be up in the night, and there was months that went by of this wrestling and this struggle. I was diagnosed on January 13th, and the first 2 weeks were hell. It was terrifying. I was petrified, and I couldn't sleep. It was devastating. But after 2 weeks, when I couldn't sleep all night, I decided that it was either sit up and worry all night or dive into God's word. And so every minute of my day that I possibly could, I was in God's Word. And it was through that time of surrendering and realizing that that He is in control. And the Bible says, you know, God works all things together for good. And it was during that time that I began to start writing out scriptures of life on little 3x5 cards. And I still, to this day, even this morning, read those every morning. Psalm 118:17-18 says, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. John 11:4 says, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Psalm 30 says, Lord, my God, I call to You for help, and You healed me. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I would claim that Satan wants to kill me, but it is Jesus who came to give me an abundant life this minute, this day that I'm alive. And the psalm spoke to me when I just would encourage anyone as you're going through this, that it is terrifying and it is overwhelming and you will be afraid, but faith is bigger than our fear. And God's word is truth. Just like I am now learning that integrative health is truth. It is God's way of healing our bodies. And there's so much more than just, it's not just this linear, you know, you take these supplements and you get better. Integrative care is about integrating health in all areas of our life. It's not just taking a supplement, or it's not just eating right. And when it says in Matthew 9:22, and it says your faith has healed you, I love the Blue Letter Bible. It helps to get into the Hebrew and Greek, you know, definitions of the words. But that word healing, healed you, means to be restored, to wholeness. And Jesus made us whole. And I believe our journey on earth is to learn what that looks like, to come back to that, and to live abundantly with the life that God has given us today. And, you know, I started, as I've processed this, I've read lots of books, and I've really dug in. And I feel like integrative care, what it did for me is it empowered me. If it wasn't just me waiting for the chemo to work and then hoping that the cancer never came back, but it was me taking control of my health and me realizing that there is so much that I can do to either, you know, get a good outcome from this or a bad outcome. And as I'm studying and reading, and really the Lord has laid on my heart that this integrative care is like a wheel, a health wheel, and it's your physical health, your emotional, mental health, your spiritual health, and your relational health. And, you know, the physical health is what brought people to Jesus, right? People were broken, and they were sick, and they came to Him with their physical illness, but He, when He saw them, He healed them, not just their physical health, but He created them whole. And He helped them to see that they were broken spiritually and mentally and emotionally, and He helped to make them whole. And I believe that's what He's still doing today, that we come to Him with our physical illness. It takes a physical illness. It took me being completely broken to finally surrender to His plan for my life and the abundant life that He has planned for me. You know, and my physical, it's taken, you know, I've learned over the course of this year how many different physical things I can do to help my body, such as vitamin C infusions and sauna treatments and different supplements. And I do meet with Micah through Worldview Wellness, who has trained under Nation, and he has helped me to see so many different ways to benefit me through labs and different testing and really testing what is wrong with my body, what is right with my body, and Max, you know, working on those, supporting those. The mental and emotional health has been huge. I am really realizing how important our mind, like you said, taking every thought captive to Christ, that what we think is how we live our lives. And if we, you know, just even that beginning where I started claiming my healing, that speaking life over ourselves and over other people changes our lives. And, you know, I'm still working on all that. I feel like the other thing I could say about integrative care is that this is not something you just do while you are diagnosed with cancer or with any disease. It's a life transformation. Jesus never came so that we would, you know, kind of put Him in one box of our life. No, it's for our whole lives. And I think that's where, you know, the Lord has laid this on my heart years ago, is to live differently. And when we make that decision to live differently, there's no going back. It's continuing to pursue the wholeness that He has for us. So I'm learning about stress and how that plays a huge role in the formation of my cancer and keeping it away and just the benefit of my life by doing yoga and meditation and acupuncture. you know, my spiritual walk is continuing to grow day by day by day, strengthening that through God's word, and which is true. But even also is our relationships and the community that we build around us. I could not have done this without my friends, you know, being there. My husband has been a huge support. He's followed Dr. Ben for years on his podcast and has been a huge supporter of me through all this. My friends, my family, the community of people that I have met that have cancer and that are also doing integrative care. So this is something that it's a beautiful story that God is developing in my life, and it's just the beginning. I feel there still are times of fear, and there still have been times when literally I felt like I couldn't do it. The diet change is hard. That's honestly one of the hardest things I did, was to change my diet. I cried over my diet, and I can remember literally it talks about in Isaiah how praying that that the Lord blesses your food and your water. And I would pray and ask God to help me to like eating this way, because it was so hard to let go of all those things that we love, because food, we associate food with our memories and with experiences, and we celebrate with birthday cakes and different, you know, our big thing for our family was root beer floats, and I had to let go of all that. And it was, there's a grieving process also of letting go of the old life that you thought was right and okay, and embracing the new life that God has for you spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. And but I look to, at this point, I look forward to that. And I continue to grow and learn and know that God is working all things together for my good, and that he whatever he started, he's going to complete. So.
Amen. Well, what a journey you've been on. What's the future hold? Where do you go from here? I'm assuming not back to just conventional physician assistant, ER, family practice type thinking.
Right. The Lord has been laying on my heart for years to live differently, to live abundantly. And I am beginning to really do that. And I want to share that with others. I would love to educate people in God's word as well as integrative health. Praying about, jumping into integrative medicine myself and helping people to heal their own lives. So many people, you know, have obviously seen my journey and seen what the Lord has done, what integrative medicine has done, and are asking me questions. And it seems like a natural progression to be able to just keep sharing the truth, as you have done with so many people, that it amazes me how many people don't know the truth. And I just want to be able to share that with people.
Yeah. And even in church settings, I had someone email me recently that even her, the leadership and her, and this was outside the state, I don't know who these leaders were, but basically leaders of churches telling her, basically, it's a waste of your time to worry about eating healthy foods and exercise and all these things. You just focus on the gospel only. Go get people mm-hmm. saved. And it's just such a counterfeit. I mean, it's such a misunderstanding, a lack of knowledge, in my opinion. So, I mean, you're right. It's this all-encompassing thing. I mean, what distracts people from being who they're supposed to be more than sickness? I mean, so many people I talk to, they won't leave their job because they have good health insurance. And they need that health insurance to help their co-pays and because of these diseases. And so, and you know me and the listeners, my biggest message is these diseases don't just fall out of the sky on you. You're not a victim. You're not a victim of your genes. You're not a victim of a germ. You're the cure. You're in charge of stewarding the body so it can repel the germ and it can keep the genes turned off. And I want everyone to remember Dr. Day was on my show years ago, Longevity Plan. He went to China where in this village called the Longevity Village. They lived to be 110, 112, 115 and active. This one farmer he interviewed out in the rice field farming in the middle of the day said, "Hey, I feel like I'm in my prime." And he was like 112 years old. And Dr. Day drew their blood and he looked at all the genes that predisposed to cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's and all these diseases of the West. And they had the same genes. They had the same predispositions to these diseases, but they weren't manifesting any of the diseases. You can keep those genes turned off. So what a testimony, Alyssa, to the truth. And what a testimony to your personal not only dedication, but ultimately letting go of your own intellect, your own ability to fix things or be in control. That's a huge thing. Humans have this blind spot where we think we can control things. We can be our own provision, our own protection. We get our identity all wrapped up in the wrong thing. And you've had to face all that head on and repent and turn and go the other way back to the truth. So it's amazing story, amazing testimony to you personally and your character. So just want to say thank you for all you're doing, for your message of hope and healing out there. And just we have a couple minutes left, but any final parting words?
Well, thank you for having me on here. And I just want people to know, be empowered to take control of their health and their life, and that Jesus came for them to live abundantly. And so what does that look like in your own life? And really start surrender and trust in the Lord and seek truth in your life, whether that's biblical truth as well as medical truth. And
amen. And last parting word, Caroline Leaf was on our show a while back, and she described a study out of Harvard where I think it was 98%, 95% of all disease was rooted in a thought.
The thing that
gets our terrain off initially, if you keep drilling down, you know, Morley talks about the minerals, too much iron, not enough copper and those things, and all the disturbances when magnesium gets kicked out of the cell, what happens to, you know, complex 4, the mitochondria. But even he'll say at the very root is your thoughts, your emotions, fear. Well, where's fear coming from? Our thoughts are so powerful. And she describes, Caroline Leaf describes, the DNA tightening up, that double helix tightening up in response to thoughts of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness versus the DNA relaxing and getting back to its normal shape when you have thoughts of joy and peace. And so the actual effects on your genetic expression from a thought, I mean, it's powerful. And the verses you were quoting from the Bible, and I've looked through sickness throughout the Bible and health, and what does it say? And pretty much everywhere I can find, it's the person's thinking. Their faith is what healed them. And when Jesus asked, do you want to get up and walk? Do you want to see? Do you want to be healed? It's up to the person. They have to be willing. They have to believe that their thinking has to line up. There has to be this inner struggle, but where you ultimately surrender and submit to the truth, which is the Word of God. So what an amazing display of that you've put on in the past year and a half. So congratulations, Alyssa. Thank you for being who God made you to be and being a willing vessel and being obedient and willing to share your story and your testimony today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That was Alyssa Perez, physician assistant and mother and wife and follower of Jesus. We will have this archived on our website, veritasmedical.com. We keep all the shows there. Also, you can find it on iTunes. We'll be back next week with another great show. Thank you all for tuning in today.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.